It were in national paper and quickly got a website done. It's a very old industry, a lot of old, very old fashioned industry. And we got a website done and we had the ability to bang it out and bang it out nationwide. You can go pick it off shelf yourself. And they ask you to serve yourself and pay for carrier. They deserve it fucking. A little bit of comedy, a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. It's like people now are too quick to focus on a negative and never a positive. Mm-hmm. Never, ever. Nobody ever goes, like fucking Wayne Rooney gives more money to charity than any other Premiership footballer. Nobody ever mentions that, but they'll say about that time he got caught with a prostitute in fucking America or whatever. But what we're doing is good. And we've, you know, we've been doing it like 2-3 year online now, and it just need to keep it relevant. So like that beef day, just keep it going, keep into it. But like when you've just spent all your life behind a counter, now the challenge for me is to change it up and stuff like that.
Right, what is going on, boys? Joined me good friend Phil Bennett.
Well done away, boys.
We all good?
Can sound good to be on here, isn't it?
What's new? What's happening? What's happening in Phil Bennett's world?
Just grafting hard, trying to trudge in the long road to happy destiny. Plenty going on.
What is the end play for you? I always, we've done some work together. Like,
do you know what, me? I've changed my total perspective on life, so my only goal now is, after just having a slight bit of the old depression, is my only goal is to be happy every day. And my absolute goal is get my business to where I want it to be, so it's looking after my family. And I would absolutely love to get into the comedy compare world, like sportsman's dinners, maybe announcing at boxing, meeting people, networking. That is what I really, really I'm passionate about. I start on Saturday. I've got my first start at Edinley at Long Bar, alongside Jamie.
So what are you doing there then? Just
I approached Jamie about 12 months ago. Started thinking about it, and I just said, "Look, if you haven't, you know, have you got any advice for me? I've been trying to pick points and always ask people and delve into it." And I went to Leeds Wakefield game. I seen him doing his thing at Long Bar. And without boring you, it seemed a bit mismatchy. Kid who were outside of him didn't seem to have that much clue. And I just sent him a message saying, listen, if you ever needed any help, you know, I'd gladly help you. I'm like, Lidge, two things I know a lot about, innit? Rugby and meat. So I think it'd be a good place to start. And he messaged me back straight away, like, you know, something. I've had it dropped on my desk. It'd be great.
Is Jamie still massively involved with Leeds as a club?
Jamie Jones is one of the nicest guys you could wish to meet, isn't he? So he's a Christian to start with, and his goal is, his reflection on it is, I've had that much out of club, now it's my turn to give back to fans and stuff like that. And he's obviously got a great job there, and job for life, and set for life. I would have thought he's got a nice few quid out of job because he's always been sensible.
Well, he's still on Sky a little bit doing all the commentary.
He's doing really well. He does his commentary. You know, one thing I learned, like, I'd just done like 2 years working at side of Chev Walker, and being a coach is totally different to being like Jamie Jones is. Jamie Jones is a good influencer, a good talker, a good person, great human being. Chev Walker is as well. But I've learned, after you work at side of two people and know them personally, like, coaching is absolutely anal. You know, clipping, staying up, doing this, counting this. And it don't work.
What's Chev doing now then? Is he back?
Chev Walker, he left Bennett's Butchers. He's the only man ever to leave a Butchers to be assistant coach at Leeds Rhino.
Can't grumble with him, can you, there, like?
No, because I could. Do you know something? He's another man, like, where I've never learnt as much off one person. I've done that Butchers game since I was 12 years old. And I've worked with the greatest of respect at side of a certain type of person all my life. And when you're working at side of an absolute consummate professional like Chev Walker, I learned absolutely loads, you know.
But what takeaways are, what just mindset? Just
mentally strong, you know, like. He didn't eat, you know, when you lads, I mean, I'm going back diet, but you lads do a diet. He eats 1 kilo of meat, beef, at 9 o'clock every night, or when he's finished training. He has 2 eggs throughout the day, and he drinks litres and litres of water, apart from Thursdays when he has...
That's the Lions.
Is that all he eats?
Yeah, it's like a keto fasting.
Yeah, if he says he's doing it,
I promise you, like, you will never meet a man as strict. He does mackerel on Thursdays. Monday, he don't eat anything. He gives his body the day off.
What, every Monday?
Every.
For 24 hours?
For 24
hours. You did a big 24-hour fast, though, recently, didn't you?
32 or 34 hours. They are good, though. They make you feel good.
Chev was super, super, super professional. Like, super professional. And his mind... And then he come to us, he was like, I'm doing academy. And that was his passion. And then he were on about... You know, like, we got the inside story on Rowan Smith. He come from nowhere, went, you know, like... Richard Agar's gone, you know, they should be looking at Rowan Smith, he's the future of coaching and games changed and, you know, your likes of Barry McDermott and Terry O'Connor and that, they won't, but, you know, some of props now are built like you are, they can go forever, they're super fit, da 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 da. And I'm not the smart, sharpest tool in box, but what I can do is, like, absorb stuff off people and I'm listening and listening and listening. Oh, bloody hell, and to see it all come into fruition is, like, just a weird situation to be in.
Dive into a little bit, if you don't mind. You said there you've just come through a little bit of a depressive stage. What was going on?
I tried to expand my business too fast. We had a great time over COVID. Great time. And I thought best thing to do would be to put some money into my house and put some money into a factory. Typical market trader. Typical, that's the instinct in me, went too big too quick, had to pull plug on it, lost a lot of money, and I don't like losing, and I never thought it could happen to me, but it did, it crept up on me, and I didn't like it at all, it was a bad situation, but, you know, I mean, boozing, just getting too much down my neck, and you just think, oh, fucking hell, what am I going to do, but actually, if you stop focusing on negatives, and start, like, Chev, one potato at a time. He were good for me, Chef, because he'd be like, he'd never say to me, this is where you're going wrong. But if I said to him, where am I going wrong here? He'd be like, well, if you're a rugby player, you'd be wanting to come on trial in academy and be scrum half and captain for the first team. Business, you want to go from here to here. Just take one potato at a time.
There's a process to it.
One potato at a time. If it's a diet, if you know that. If I go on a diet, if I haven't lost weight in the first 2 days, that's it. It's fucking out and I'm back in booze. I'll give it. But I have learned. It's learned me. Good learning. And you know something? Truthfully, and I never, ever, you know, when people are down and people go, oh, you fucking... It's, I swear to God, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
What? I'm the
losing, having a failure.
Losing it and getting it all back.
Having a failure, yeah. And I ain't got it all back yet, but it's coming. And taking a step at a time, not trying to be too big for your boots, learning, listening to people. And you've got a different aspect on life, totally different outlook on life now. And whereas before, you know me, it was just work, just, you know.
It was like a very weird time though, wasn't it? So when COVID hit and you sort of decided to fully go in on e-commerce, it were a fast ride, wasn't it?
Can you remember us doing the video?
Yeah.
And I can remember, the thing about me is, when you've been Billy Big Bollocks, I'm having everything on red. This is what we're doing. They're doing the... I dare say a lot of it were embarrassment, you know. If I'd lost at something that nobody else knew about, we probably... But when you're going Billy Big Bollocks in an industry like mine that's small, which everybody will have been talking about it, and, you know, we're to come out of that factory, bust it, carry on trading, and make it look like not what happened, because, you know... The vast majority of people don't know that factory and what we went through. So sometimes I would in that tap and tackle, I'd had 15 pints and I had to come in and film Super Sunday because I was just that fucking pissed off, do you know what I mean?
What's 11 to drag you out of booze to come film?
There were days like that when I was fed up, yeah. But I can do that.
Has that always been your vice then, is when you're feeling down, alcohol were always sort of the medicine?
Sometimes, yeah. Booze. And sometimes you get fed up with job and get bogged down. I've done the same thing since I was young, but I've got my mojo back for it now. You know, sometimes when you...
Do you find that through your career there's... Because I feel like there's times when you're full of energy and mojo and beans, I'm going to go do this, and there's times where there's a little bit of a lull period.
I don't know how to put it in your terms, but you seem to do like a lot of combative sport. Have you ever had a right good hiding? Have you been beat?
I've been beat. I ain't had a proper good hiding.
So if you get beat, do you have that mindset where you just want to think, right, you know what, I'm going to fucking go back to square one, see where I went wrong,
And I don't know how you are, but, you know, that's how I felt.
Make you go introspective, sort of assess what's going on.
Sometimes you get a little bit too big for your boots, and that was me, and I openly admit it. I got a bit too big for my boots. I thought I'd done it. I thought, that's it. All I kept saying was, 3 years of this, we'll sell it to a third service company.
It was, not to discuss numbers, but it was crazy, the growth, wasn't it? It was insane.
Crazy. And I didn't have no, like, I remember when I opened, when I got it, and it was, and my brother, who knows a lot about business, I said, have you got this sorted? Because any factory is goods in, process, goods out, margin. Have you got that sorted? Fucking hell, if there's one thing I know about, it's fucking me, Aki. Don't worry about me, I'm fucking sorted here. And you were right and I were wrong.
Do you think a lot of people like that? I've got a lot of people who I know who's, they find it hard to take sort of, not necessarily advice, but, you know, if you feel you've got it all sorted and all set in your own head. You know what I'm like. I'm a bit of a hothead. I sometimes find it hard to take in information. I always don't know why that is, but I seem to struggle that sometimes.
The one thing that I had in that time was, if you think about it, in COVID, there were a lot of people not working, and I was fucking printing it. I was giving everybody work. Every, you know, builders, roofers that couldn't get out and graft, come here, we'll sort out. Professional rugby players. And there were a lot of people.
We even had employed. Like, did we have like Romanian cleaners as well?
Yeah, we had it all going on.
You crazy. We were like 24 hours, mate. You can't explain.
The work that got done was unbelievable. But when you, one thing I've learned is when you're on the up, there's a lot of fucking people blow smoke up your ass and want to be around you and want a bit of this off you and want a bit of that off you. And they're not there when you have it rough. So learned a lot, honestly. Learned a lot of lessons. And it is easier to say when you've turned it round and you're coming back and, you know, but it's scary when you think, fuck, you know, I could have done my fucking family's money in here, I'm fucked.
You just said then you had, obviously it blew up over COVID. So obviously you've been working since you're 12, you've been doing butchering since you're 12, how long you had a shop?
Since 2001, so we're 21.
And then what was the difference then from having the shops and then COVID, what made that difference?
Why was it so different? Because every restaurant and most takeaways shut. Well, every takeaway shut for 3 weeks. Then every restaurant was shut. Nobody could go out. All people could look forward to was a cracking bit of nice food at home. And unbeknown to a lot of people, we'd done a lot of work, haven't we? We'd done a lot of work with getting notoriety for being a butcher on social media. And when it come, we quickly got a website done. It's a very old industry, a lot of old, very old-fashioned industry. And we got a website done and we had the ability to bang it out and bang it out nationwide. And all people wanted was some really good... What else were there to do other than... And it were very hot, if you remember. Mm. They were all barbecuing. People wanted some good gear at home. And, you know, it's what else did they have to look forward to other than food and drink? Everyone were fucking eating and getting pissed out of their head.
Crazy times. How long ago was that?
3 years ago.
Wow. So time flies.
You got into butchering at 12, then how did that come about? You just get pushed into it, or did you want to be a butcher?
No, I got a Saturday job. I got a Saturday job in Leeds Market, and I just liked it, and I was quite a biglish lad, and I could work. I had a good work ethic, and I got treated like a man, and then I struggled at school with being taught to like a boy. And I liked money. So by the time I was, you know, I quickly worked out that if I got expelled from school, I could be buying work and earning money. And it just went from there.
Were you skiving school or just?
Didn't used to nick off, no. I just like to work. And I was blatantly open with teacher. You know, it's, I want to go to work. Like, and my mum and dad, signed it all off so I could just go to work. Well, I didn't let him down and didn't have time off and stuff.
I remember seeing through lockdown you got involved with like Tyson Fury and that as well. Is that what you mean by people wanting to jump on the scene when she's doing well? And then is that when he come on once the league started getting shifted?
No, people jumping on the scene when you're doing well. You know, if you won lottery tonight, I don't know your financial circumstances either, but I absolutely guarantee you it made public knowledge that you had a lot of money around
you.
You'd have a lot of friends.
I had a lot of friends. I were earning 20, 30 grand a week when that played it. You saw the queuing out shop. I had five shops like that. We were giving it some welly. And we were helping. I'm a nice lad. I'll help somebody if I can. And there were a lot of people, I've no work on, Phil. Don't worry, you can work with me. I'll give you cash in hand. Da-da-da, we're helping them out. And he had loads and loads of pals. But Tyson Fury, answer to your question, no, he come about well before. I've been serving Tyson Fury since, bloody hell, after he finished with Klitschko. I was at a sportsman's dinner and I just...
Was that the one we went to the Tony Lums?
No.
With the big old...
No, it wasn't. I'll tell you what it was. I believe good deeds turn to good deeds, and a good friend of mine, his son was struggling with alcohol, drinking too much and depression.
I remember this.
And I says, and my mate had him on, Tyson Fury, at Ellen Road, and I bought tickets. I rung my pal, I said, listen, I'm buying some tickets, I don't want them for now, but is there any chance I can put my mate in front of Tyson Fury? He could do with a bit of help, like he's really struggling. And he were only a young kid, he was only about 17. And he went, I'll be outside for you, Phil. So we got tickets and I went down, and as I got my picture took with him, I just simply asked the question. I said, you know, would you fancy having a meat sponsor? Like, I know you lost a lot of weight when you got big on that meat diet. I'd love to supply you and try and help my business as well. And bloke being like he is, he just said, you know, if you go over there and wait for me, I'll speak to you. And his commercial manager were there, and we supplied him ever since.
What's the deal with that? What sort of, how much weight of food are you giving him a week? Him to, what's he do? Does he sponsor? Does he do posts for you on social media? Get you on his shorts and stuff like that? Is that how he returns a favour?
You'd never get on his shorts, and I'm always honest with people. Like, Tyson Fury don't need me, does he? I mean, he's fucking, but he's put the odd post on his.
There's been a little
Instagram.
Bit.
There's
been in press.
I can you? Yeah, it were in press. It were in national paper. And how much he gets, like. He only really uses us when he's in camp. So, like, that other week, I got a phone call from that George Lockhart who's going to do a podcast. And he just said, look, Tyson says we need to use you for camp. We want this. But he doesn't take piss. Tyson Fury...
He's not like, I want 50 full fillets.
Nah.
Full...
Nah. But he has rung me before and said, listen, I'm not lying, honestly. He's rung me and said, listen, I'm fucking banging shit. I'm falling out with wife. I need a barbecue pack to our house by tomorrow. Because it's a bit of a weird thing. You might not hear a note for ages from him, but, you know. I thought I'd fucked it up last year, but I'm glad I'm
you weren't... Ever had a few too many pops and tried to give him a ring?
Yeah, that's how I fucked it up.
I imagine that.
I promise
you. Phil used to be religious and I used to love it. I used to call him Sunday sermons. So I think, because he's a hard worker, Sundays were his day to relax, drink, probably unwind a little bit. And you'd always get either a long phone call or a right nice voice note or text, but like a proper Sunday sermon.
Well,
motivated for a week.
This will make you laugh. So I were in Ocean Beach.
What, in a beaver?
Yeah. In one of proper nice pools, went with some decent. Like, I've got a good friendship network where we take wives and that, and we're all slinging money in. And got one of these.
Sling your keys in a bowl and that.
Ayo. Yeah. So this kid's fucking going on at me and going on at me and going on at me, and I'm talking to him and I'm having crack with him, and I were on about comedy and stuff like that. And I promise you, on my life, I didn't have a clue who it was. And it turned out it were the kid called, you know, Dapper Laughs.
Dapper Laughs.
It were him.
Yeah.
Anyway. He's gone, and I've gone, listen, I'm Butcher, what do you do, supply Tyson? You don't supply Tyson. I said, I fucking supply Tyson Fury. Well, I'm off my box, I'm being on gear and all that. So,
Five for 20 quid?
I fucking I had plenty. And he's gone, you know, so they've half egged me on, so I fucking rung Tyson.
Just a plain phone call, are you trying to FaceTime him?
First time,
oh,
you know,
fucking
yeah,
and any answers?
In the end, he answered, it's like, listen,
I'm in bed, fuck off.
Yeah,
you just right close to the phone, and mate,
well, one of them, you know, when you wake up next morning, and I was like, oh no,
all right, slow it down. Did he answer then?
Yeah,
and what did he say?
What, you know, like, hey, we're about 13th time. I won't lie, I don't ever lie to you. So, he even told me, like, I sent him a message when I got back. I'm like, listen, sorry about that. He was like, listen, I'm not a fucking puppy. Don't fucking ring me like that, showing off your mates. And let's face it, that's what we're doing. So, yeah, I thought I'd fucked it. But George Lockhart, he was like, listen, he said he wants to use you for gear for camp. And, yeah, that's how it works. We supply him.
I heard something today that the fight's fallen through.
So I got a message today saying that I think it has, yeah.
Do you know any reasoning for it? What's going on there? Just can't the deal not right?
Listen, I can't ever say what's wrong about Tyson, can I? But there's obviously something not right in it, and if it don't work for him at his time of life, you know, he
only gave himself six weeks,
and he's similar, you know, his body types, blood, you know, he might not give himself enough time to be off. I saw an interview with the coach, what's his name, from Kronk Gym.
Sugar, whatever his name is.
Sugar Hill. And he were like, 6 weeks, not currently long enough, this and other. So Tyson's sometimes does stuff on emotion and he might have just gone in a bit quick. But he's...
How do you see, just keep it neutral, how would you see that fight panning out?
Me? I think he'd go straight through him like a fucking juggernaut. I think that's how that guy coaches him. I think he'd be 19 and a half stone.
Just too big, too strong.
He'd just be a little bit half wary until fourth round, and then I think he'd just start trying to fucking unload on him. But on the other side of the coin, like I said to everyone, that fucking Usyk's no muck. You know, they all tried to stop Messi, did they? You know what I mean? Messi, well, he's only a little... But that Usyk is some fucking man. But 19 stone against 16 and a half. What will he be, 16 and a half max? Let's face it, whatever Tyson Fury said he's going to do, he's done it, hasn't he? So who am I to question him? But
I respected him massively when he came back from a big depression battle, didn't he? He brought his story up about saying he wanted to kill himself and then came back and be a world champion. It's a good story.
He's done a lot of good stuff for people, and I remember going and taking some mate across after that factory incident, and then we met him in Markham Hotel. He says, "What's up with you? You look like you're fucking sick as a Blackpool donkey." I says, "Oh, fucking hell." I've told him what's happening. And that's fuck all. I says, "When I fought Klitschko, I was doing a fucking tree job 7 weeks later with my dad. I was skin. Don't worry about it." I says, "Well, fucking hell, cheers." But
did you see that he flew back on a Ryanair flight? Just a normal public flight the other day after Tommy Fury's fight.
From Dubai, he flies back just commercial. He doesn't sit in first class at all, does he?
I think he is a breath of fresh air because he does say how it is. And I'll tell you one thing he never does, mate. Whenever I've been there and I haven't hung around him loads and I'm not his big fucking pal, and you know, like I'd like to be, but he never knocks an autograph back. You know, I've been there having something to eat where they've cordoned it off in an hotel and he can see a kid's wanting an autograph and it comes straight through. He's always decent enough from what I can see. And
I was shocked. I know he's moved to a new place now. I was shocked how he lived. Obviously, he had a beautiful house, but it was just easy access. I couldn't believe that.
His old house. You could just have gone and knocked on his door. And like, the house he's got now is like my big fat gypsy house. It's fucking massive, yeah. But before, he just lived on a corner and he absolutely loved it.
Talk to me about changing subjects a little bit. Talk to me about this beef society you've set up. What's this?
Fucking quality, man. It's like, I do love my job. But I don't just want to stamp. There's more than one way to skin a cat in my game. So before it used to be get up, put a lovely display on, price be right, look after customers, and that's what you've championed yourself on. But now there's more than one way to skin a cat. There's online, there's this, that, another. And we've made like this Bennett's Butchers Club. So I put a thing on where we got some of us quality ingredients. We had a nice breakfast in a pub, then took them to First Auction.
We'll have to jump on next one.
A day out of itself.
But it goes for a full day. You have breakfast, you learn about, it takes you to, what's the...
First auction.
First auction, look at the cow, see it before it's sold.
That'd be interesting.
Pick the best one that I thought this, and that's the belt of that. I mean, you have to pick three or four, because sometimes you can get an asshole bidding against you. You don't want to pay too much for it. So, bought the best, and then we went into first, 3 or 4 pints.
What to celebrate buying the big cow?
Well, it was just a day out, wasn't it? You know, like, years ago...
Were it 3 or 4 with you?
They had 3 or 4.
3 or 4 bags is on about, yeah.
No, none of that, none of work. But, and then we went back to spread where I provided all beef and that, and they made us a lovely dinner, did great. And you know, there were some lads like you, there were older people, there were some rich people, there were some just not, you know, had a normal job, and every single person enjoyed it. Even JP Walker come, he liked
it. Did you see JP Walker's status the other day?
Yes.
That's another kid, mate. I think he were on a stag doing Benidorm, and I don't know how he's come across his profile. I just saw it put on Facebook, and I think someone's made a fake profile of his missus on Fab Swingers. Okay, and no. Someone sent him it, and it's like, it said, Me and my boyfriend are newly into swinging. We're looking for couples from 18 to 46. Anywhere.
Well, someone's just set up a spoof fucking...
I think it were like Manchester based or something like that, and someone sent him it, and I think it's just someone using his pictures, and he's like, you fucking cheating. I can't believe you've done all this. And then when he's sobered up, he's like, for fuck's sake, what have I done? I know you won't cheat on me, I know this, but like proper lost his head. But he's a funny guy. I like JP.
He's running the... Isn't he involved with... What's the pub on Ropergate?
Mixology, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that's Bowkit's pub, that's why.
Oh, no.
That's Bowkit's.
I don't know that much about him, but he come on there with another lad and he enjoyed himself. And if that's what I say, we're good for a multitude of people, and I think it, some things like that, you know, the opportunity for me there is to spend a day getting to know them, and hopefully by the end of that day, they're going to buy meat off me for the rest of their life. So.
What's the process there then? So with that day out, you find the big cow, you've bought it, and I hope there's no vegans watching it, but what's the process from buying that cow to getting
can't say
it on,
vegans
to get,
on this man.
To you getting can. It on your shelf?
Well, we buy it that day, then it gets onto Orledge, straight back to Worsley's, bedded down, give them a good 12 to 14 hours, next day, kill it, and then it's hanging for inside, it's still hanging now, so... 14 to 20 days and then it'll be delivered to mine.
What's it hanging for to get all muscles relaxed? And
It needs to start breaking down, because if it's too fresh it'll be tough. So right. It just needs to start breaking down, get it all bled out, get it dried out. One way or another it's starting to decompose, isn't it? You know, settling down. If you kill the cow in morning and wanted to eat it in afternoon.
Like chewing rubber.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
I've got to ask you what we've got here. I'm a big red meat fan. What's the best cut of... Is it fillet? Good ribeye.
Filet.
I always remember that day. I remember where we were at that cafe, weren't we?
Yeah, filet.
You never call it filet, would you? Call it fillet.
Oh, dear. Fillet. Yeah. Yorkshireman, we call it fillet. But what would it? He's a great guy, Glyn Margaret.
Glyn owns Ronaldo's.
Yeah. And he has two Ferraris. He calls it. If you have two
That's
Ferraris,
why he calls it filet, then.
Yeah, if you have two Ferraris, you're allowed to call it filet. But I don't know. I like ribeye, but I like a multitude of cuts, and I like different seasons. There's always something different with me. The challenge for me is trying to get younger people into it, but you know something? Slowly but surely, they are getting into it. Bit at a time. Next thing for us is to try and get good quality steaks and cuts, like on Uber Eats, Deliveroo, quick. So young men like you, who are used to that side, and there's not wrong with that at all, just can go bang and have it delivered to you.
The only issue with that is whenever I picture Uber Eats or Deliveroo, I just picture like greasy burgers and shit like that. Yeah. You'd have to make your own total different site. Like,
but I just think if you packaged it where you had like a fillet steak coming to the house, maybe some nice sauce, some
extras. The one thing about steak is, and I totally agree with you, if I want to have an Uber Eats, I'd want a fucking KFC or whatever. But the one thing about a steak is generally want to cook it themselves, don't they? But if we can get barbecue packs, stuff like that, delivered to you, it's speed now. We've managed to deliver nationwide. I never ever thought people would buy meat in boxes delivered to the door, but they are, and it's working well and it's going good. What we need to do now is work out how to do it quick, double quick time, fast, and get younger people into it. You know, but it intrigues me that younger lads who spend so much time in a gym looking after themselves, how they'll look, this and other, don't spend much more time sourcing quality meat. Mm. You know, they'll pay 50 quid for a tub of protein, they'll spend a lot of money on greatest of respect tattoos or suntanning or what, but they don't really spend much time. Like, how much time do they spend in a gym? 10, 15, 20 hours a week, but they won't spend three quarters of an hour, go source a butcher and say, right, you know, get that relationship going.
And you can taste and see the difference in butcher meat, can't you? There's no comparison to me.
I believe so. I believe so, yeah, I think so. But what we're doing is good. And we've been doing it like 2-3 years online now, and it just need to keep it relevant. So like that beef day, just keep it going, keep into it. But like when you've just spent all your life behind a counter, now... Challenge for me is to change it up and stuff like that.
Where was the place we went to? Tell me the story when we were dressed like we were at Hogwarts. Where were that? That was the classiest place I've
that
ever been.
That were Penny's. John Penny's at Rawdon, yeah.
Should have seen this.
Why were you dressed like you were in Hogwarts?
Well, the fail when we were starting to film, like Phil mentions, the quite old school So it's quite a closed sort of fraternity almost, isn't it? They were weird with us filming there. We could only do certain things. But John Penny were just, to me, the Rolls Royce of...
Everything.
Just the setup, mate, were unbelievable. We had to wear sort of these long gowns. We looked like we were just fucking walking around.
In a cult.
Looked like we're in a cult almost.
But you would not believe. Like. You would not believe the good that did. And like, I go to them auctions now. And without sounding like a total...
You're known for that.
I'm not a big head. But you go there and you can see them. See them. And they come up to you. No, thank you for what you're doing for British Farming. Bloody great, great that, you know, what you did. John Penny rung me after we did that video. I just want to thank you for how you spoke about my business. Because a farmer, they never get a pound back, do they? No. They all they ever do is get slapped.
It might sound... How do I explain this so I've not, like, been negative... How he even looked after the animals were class.
When you go to that auction, it's almost like a, in a different way, like a dog, you know, like Crufts, some of the best, you don't get that, don't go into, I was trying to explain to people which were good, these don't go into supermarkets, they're too good. You got to pay a bit more for these, but this is what you get. And they're like, right. And, only difference is they go for slaughter. That's what they're bred for. And it's the farmer's job to get it looking. You know, some of them look like bodybuilders, you know. You'd probably find it interesting. I put it this way. I've took Luke Gale before. I've took Victor Abogu, who played for England Rugby Union, Chev Walker, and I took 25 people last time. And honestly, every single one of them really enjoyed it and found it interesting. Do you know what I mean? Listen, it's not fucking best day in the world, is it? But they enjoyed it.
You get to learn the process, don't you?
Yeah, there's a big disconnection. Especially if you're interested in what you eat and how you look after yourself and stuff like that. And I think that were number one. I reckon by the time we've done 25 beef days out, we'll have it.
I know how you think. Is there going to be an offshoot business where you're selling premium steak, or you're going to keep a stick?
Yeah, I'd love
to
have a database of people. It's like this is what's coming through now. It's like Rolex, isn't it? This is what's coming through that I've got in my pipeline. It's coming to you first. Does anybody want this? And it's about sauces for courses. People don't understand that with meat, there's Fiestas and there's Rolls Royces. Just is. It's, you know, like
you eat,
with people.
You eat a lot of red meat. You're more chicken and rice, man, aren't you?
I have mince. And I have steak every now and then, probably twice a week. That's about it. Why do you have it all the time? Josh just did one of them tests where you can get your hair pulled out and it tells you everything you're not allowed to have. What you're not allowed.
I've had to pull all like bread out of my diet, rice.
Horse.
Yeah,
but horse meat.
Meat is all right, other than like horse, but I don't think I'd ever eat that unless
it's. Have you ever had that? Or any crazy meats?
I've had crocodile. I've had plenty of game.
Is game meat nice? I bet it is, eh?
Fucking, I'm sick of fucking Dazzy Fisher walking in with him lately. he's found out that I can butcher up for him, and
what's he bringing?
He's bringing deers and all sorts, and I butcher them all up for him. He likes his shooting. But yeah, game's a bit earthy, you know what I mean? But you should try that. If you've just had that done, you'd respond well to that lion diet. I swear to God, the people love it.
Makes sense, that. So that's just fasting for a big part of the day, a couple of eggs, big portion of meat on a night.
Chev used to drop a bit of organ meat in there now and again, and a bit of liver, a bit of heart, you know, just keep it.
Do you sell a lot of that still, sort of your organ meats?
Remember when we did B12 burgers?
Yeah, we like minced beef with liver in it. What else do we put in that?
We did a bit of liver and heart into beef.
Yeah, so you get it in your patties, but you're getting all your organ meats in there because there's obviously a lot of nutrients in there, so it's...
Being a big meat man, did you follow much of what the Liver King did?
Yeah.
Do you like him?
Yeah.
I hate him, mate. Pisses me off.
Why?
Did you see the big thing come out about him?
Well, he got busted with steroids, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen. He's cheated, hasn't he? But let's face it, man's only trying to get a living, isn't he?
He is,
and sometimes people, you know, I don't think there's not many people... Like wrestling. I mean, for instance, boxing. They make out they absolutely fucking hate each other, don't they? And they always hug. He's only tried to get a living, hasn't he?
I think the difference between them is he was selling a business. He was, like, promoting this thing daily, saying, no, I sleep on a stone floor. I do this. I only eat these things. This is what people accuse me of being on steroids. They're saying that these are implants. I'm natural. All I eat is meat. And all his kids are, like, saying the same shit he does. Then it comes out he's on, like, fucking 1,500 quid's worth of tests every month.
Is it?
And he's hammering it.
His hair just,
but he's come off it now, and now he's done an apology. Like, I'm sorry, I lied to everybody. I was doing tests. I'm coming off it now. And I haven't really watched any of his stuff to see if his body's changed much, but it's just the fact he tried pulling wool over everybody's eyes. Well,
his business...
His business was pointing everyone towards like proteins and all that.
Well,
shit,
yeah, he'd sell liver capsules and organ meat, so he'd found a way to... People don't... For palatability, it's not the nicest to me. I'm not a big fan of like liver, kidney, heart and stuff like that, so... He sort of packaged it in a product where you can just take it in tablet form, and it really took off. I think it's called Ancestral Supplements is his business.
Yeah.
And he were obviously turning it out and whatever, but it got leaked of his steroid cycle, and it was just a bit of a tough watch light for that. He had to sort of come up. Because I think Ellis is right. He were playing a character.
Yeah.
I don't think that... I think if you believe that, he's a multimillionaire. If you think he was sleeping on the floor, like, fucking come on, he's living how he wants. He's
and
doing
I,
what he
I
wants.
Didn't for one second believe he were eating everything raw and this that and other, but
he were doing podcast rounds and taking on like raw testicles for people to eat on podcasts.
Oh, why eat testicles when you can eat? Why eat vegetables when you can eat testicles? That what he's saying, wasn't it?
You were getting called out though, like on Impulsive and Full Send podcast, and they were like saying, "But are you one of those?" Like, no, definitely not. Like, all I eat is these. Like, trust me, come and eat all these. And everyone's like, "All boys are eating fucking bull knackers and everything for him," and then he just comes out, he's chatting shit. Don't get me wrong, he probably still does eat that stuff.
What's happening with, I know we did the Gentleman's Evening probably, that might be even 3-4 years ago now, we did that Morley Town Hall. I know you've got another event coming up, is that true? Is it
Dawn? Vinnie Jones.
Vinnie Jones, sorry.
Yeah, we've got Vinnie Jones at Morley Town Hall.
What, he's coming and talking?
Yeah, we're going to do an evening with Vinnie Jones. The two boys are going to come.
Yeah, I'll be up for that. When's that?
It's on 20th of May at Morley Town Hall.
Yeah.
It's only 220 people. He's doing a lot bigger gigs than that, but I just got it offered to me. And honestly,
it ended a bit heavy though, the last one. I remember being in that Tipsy Cow and it took a turn for worse. I woke up in Village South Leeds, mate.
Mm-hmm. No way.
Can't tell you. Well, that's where I ended up.
I'm not drinking at this one.
No.
I've got to be, I'm going to be more professional at this one, but yeah, it's... I'm looking forward to it. Nobody will have brought... He's an Hollywood superstar, isn't he? And I don't think I'll make any money, I'll tell you now. I don't think I'll make any money, but as long as I break even. And sometimes it's good to just point things towards
business.
Is that
because he's requesting a high fee?
Yeah.
So there's a big fee there before you've
even... He's a big name, isn't he? Let's face it. He's not just like Vinnie Jones who used to play for Leeds United. He's a Hollywood superstar. And these people value themselves, don't you? If I asked you to go pack boxes at £10 an hour, you'd probably tell them to get fucked, wouldn't you? Well, when you get to that level, that's probably where he's at for a night's work, and I understand that.
His fee's his fee,
innit? You know, it's like you're going to Fury. I'm the world champion. I'm the big cheese. Everyone wants me. That's what I think I'm worth. And if you don't like it, tough. Slag him as much as you want. He's worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a day rate, you have a day rate. That's it.
And people will pay it. It's just that.
Of course they will. I tell you what, Vinnie Jones will be easier to sell at £100 a ticket than, I don't know, who do you get for a figure? What do you get? Let's name...
He's just done around. Don Mayo, what's he charging?
So it'll be easier to sell at £100 a ticket than Don Matteo, with greatest of respect, at £40 a ticket. Because people... Don Matteo's got a great... But this guy appeals to everyone. You'd be surprised how many birds are wanting to come at this. Love him, Dolly. He's a legend, but... It'll be an interesting night, and like you say, Morley's like where I'm from, so it's a good thing to make a good noise in Morley for me, because, you know, there's no such thing as bad press. You want people coming to the shop and thinking, you know, try to do some right things, and sometimes it comes back to you, doesn't it?
You mentioned earlier on that when everything took off during lockdown, you put money into your house and stuff, and Josh was telling me that you've got a nice house and that you built a podcast room and stuff like that.
Yeah. Got a nice bar, nice house, but, you know...
The cattle grid.
Did gym, which I'm not spending enough time in. But, it's... even that, now I've got a different perspective on where I've got an house that I shouldn't have for somebody who's a butcher, and that's just a fact. And, you know, you probably need to be a lot more professional earning a lot more money than I do. But I keep paying my mortgage, I keep up to it, and hopefully we hold on to that long enough. And when it's time to cash in, we go back to his roots, back to a normal house. I'll have enough money to buy my daughter an house. And I am materialistic, but I'm not, like, vain. I'd never, ever say, look at the size of my house compared to your house. I've just gone balls deep. I'm up to here with it. I don't mind admitting it. I'd have loads of expendable cash. It's in my house.
You know, you said at the start of the podcast then, like, your end goal is happiness. You just want to be happy now. Yeah, you beat depression and stuff. I had this conversation with my girlfriend at weekend. We went to Lakes and I was saying, like, what do you want to be? And she was like, happy. And I was like, but what makes you happy though? Because let's say living happy is having no job and going and living in a field. But if you're happy, at least you're happy. But you've got fuck all in your life. Like, what sort of stuff makes you happy though?
My goal is, by the time I'm 45 years old, me and my wife have both worked and worked hard. My wife works just, she's a legend at working. And my goal is, by the time I'm 45, to be mortgage free. Bit of money put on one side for our Molly for a house and a wedding. And work when I want to work, not because I have to work. Mm. And I'll always want to work because I like work. But I'd like to be going into work at 5 in the morning, finishing at 12, meeting some nice lads for a nice game of golf, a couple of pints. Do what I want to do, not what I have to do. That's happiness for me. That's my 45 goal. And if I can get on this comparing circuit and do a bit, you know, with that. That's just, to me, if I could be paid to go bring some happiness to people, to make people laugh is currency in any English-speaking country. You know, if you can make people laugh.
Yeah, agreed.
And I'd just like to do it. I'm not saying I'm going to be Peter Kay. I'm not going to be saying I'm fucking this and other.
Didn't we have an idea, though, of doing stand-up comedy? I think you should pursue
that.
Yeah,
I think, you know, something. I think you've got to learn a few gags, and I'm trying to work it. And I'm just, one part of coming out of depression, I watched loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of comedy, and I've got a book at home and loads of
it. Who do you find funny?
Bernard Manning.
So a bit old school, a bit tongue-in-cheek, cheeky.
I think now, you can't say fuck all, no. Can you, about all
no, so are you time. are you a storytelling comic? Are you, so you'd like, find, because I know you, we've been in some sticky spots before where there's fucking surely some stories that you can play on and off the cuff, or you're more of a traditional, because I like Peter Kay's comedy, me, because it's relatable, it makes me laugh.
I went to see Peter Kay not so long back. I was lucky enough to get the tickets, and he is an absolute, total and utter genius. What he does is unbelievable. I am 42 years old. He's been in that since he was 16 year old. I'm under no illusions that I could be anywhere even to 0.001% of him. But to be able to deliver a sportsman's dinner, knock a few gags out, make people laugh, raise a bit of money for a local club, this, that, and other, that's about right for me. You know, to be able, like Jed Stone, who's doing mine at Vinny, he's brilliant. And he gets up and he's got about 3/4 of an hour to an hour's work to do. And he brings it all together. He makes sure the auction goes right. And people, and that just satisfies me. I like a bit of comedy, don't get me wrong. But every comedian, like, you just put me on spot there and I'm going to do a joke. Like, they all work to a set.
Yeah.
Now, I went to see Mick Miller, who, you know, the guy with long hair and bald head, who's been about for years. And he's selling the same jokes now that he sold for 40, 50 years. So
do you do writing and stuff when you're trying to do your jokes as it's done here?
No. Well, I think they write it down and you get to a script and you bullet point it and go from there, don't you? That's what you do.
Did you see Will Smith slap Chris Rock?
Yeah.
There's a video, and I don't know if it's remade after, but made to look like it was an old video of the exact same thing going on. A comedian on stage, like, ripping into people, saying the exact same shit, but they've made it look older. Or if the world's just, like, taking a piss out of us.
People do take offence now. I think you see it more and more. I watch a fair bit of comedy and people do these stand-up rounds. As people now just take offence to jokes.
People, don't you think now that people just look to have a go about how...
Well, it's virtue signal. You know what I mean? It's the word to me when you look at it, it's virtue signal, and they want to be like, you can't say that.
Yeah.
It's just words, though, eh? It's not like there's an action.
It's not like people who used to tell... Look, I mean, how many used to talk about, did you hear about the Irishman?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, nobody hates Irishmen. It's just how it is. And now it's almost like you can't say not about fucking women. You can't say not about them fucking, it's just fucking stupid.
When did that all change? I didn't even notice it come in. Like, when I were a kid, obviously.
Well, so to me, left in thinking like that, so very liberal thinking, like far left, social media's give a rise to that because everyone's now got a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to get a message out there. And then as soon as you've got a voice, it'll attract other like-minded people. Before you know it, there's a trans movement or there's, that's, you know, this, I mean, movement, that movement. It just seems to me, back in the day, if someone would have took offence to Phil, It's like, what they're going to do is they're not going to say anything to him to himself. They're not going to pull you up in person, but they can do it online.
If somebody is absolutely racially slurring somebody like you, fucking this, that, and another, then I totally agree. But a little bit of comedy or a little bit of tongue in cheek, like people now are too quick to focus on a negative and never a positive. Mm-hmm. Never, ever. Nobody ever goes. Like fucking Wayne Rooney gives more money to charity than any other Premiership footballer. Nobody ever mentions that, but they'll say about that time he got caught with a prostitute in fucking America or whatever. And that's what bugged me.
He had like
about
a granny fetish, him, didn't he? Weird, bit weird. It is what it is.
People always focus on people's negatives instead of the positives, and that's one thing I have learned over the last.
It's true that we've been doing this YouTube channel, and it's like you get a percentage for likes versus dislikes, and one of ours is 97% positive. But I only think about, who the fuck are that 3%? It was like, dislike that. Yeah. But it's a weird mindset to have, though, because you don't focus on
we should out them. Get them on.
There's 97% of people who have liked it, but that 3%, you're like, who the fuck didn't like that?
Started doing it, me, on Super Sunday. So like, somebody moans about a piece. Like, you get them, my 5 kilo bag of chicken fillets melt off. Well, we had 750 kilo that go out that day, and you're the only one that's moaned about it. So chances are, Mr. Smith, you're just trying to get another bag for now. Try again. And I've started saying it on Super Sunday, and they're like, yeah, actually, it's like culture, not like Amazon, where they just think, oh, I'll just say it didn't come delivered. And
he does that all the time. So
no, I don't.
Any Amazon order wrong. Just refunds, it's wrong.
No, yeah. I don't.
It's fucking wrong.
Yeah. I've got a friend who does that, though, every single time.
It's wrong. Yeah, it's wrong. Tell you know something, maybe there should be like a Robin Hood one, where you like, do it to big companies, but not fucking small.
That should be real.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you go into like a supermarket pub, little pack of chuddy in your pocket, just so you feel like you've got one up.
Yeah, sometimes in Marks and Spencers, I might, you know, someone might not scan through. I don't know. You know, these things happen.
Listen, if they ask you to fucking go pick it off shelf yourself, and they ask you to serve yourself and pay for carrier, they deserve it fucking Nicky.
What does Phil Bennett, right. Now we're getting into proper juicy stuff now, what does Phil Bennett think when these supermarkets are just turned into self-checkout? Is it infuriating?
It's absolutely fucking ridiculous. But who's the bigger fools?
Yeah.
Us or them, you know, you could come into my shop and within a matter of weeks, you know, if you come in and spend some nice money, you know, I'm interested, you get served, you can pick what you want, we can talk to you, get you everything that you want. It's fucking mental, putting a carrier bag for free, because that'll be coming back before long, you know, discount for cash. Everyone pays a card now, card. Now, them old sayings like, you're getting a discount for cash, you'll actually be able to quote that before long.
The government will probably do that just to get cash out of circulation.
Now, if you go in a restaurant now, I reckon you're well within your rights to say.
Is there a discount for
Reddys? Is there a discount for Reddys? Because then you don't have to fucking pay your VAT and this, that, and other.
You know what I was thinking yesterday when I went to the supermarket, when I was doing self-checkout? I actually prefer to scan all my own shit so I don't have to actually converse with someone who works behind
the till. That's the way the world's going. It's scary.
It's weird, isn't it?
I think it's antisocial, but what's happening there, you should always think this with the staff in there, and nothing against the staff. I used to like try and not teach them, but we're like, you do understand you're doing yourself out of a job here. Because as automation increases, use Marks and Spencers, for example, they seem to be transitioning to all solely self-checkouts. Well, it's just displacing people who would have worked there, maybe 5 or 10 staff on checkouts. Somebody, and they can't connect the dots. And these people, what the fear for me in the future, quite a deep point, is these people who are displaced out of work, and that's all they've, and there's nothing against people who just do checkout work. Well, they aren't going to be skilled in anything else, whether, you know, what's next for them work-wise. It's these jobs, eventually, through automation, robotics and all stuff like that, will be displaced in the next 10, 15 years. So where are all these people going to work? Especially when you've got cost of living crisis. These people aren't going to be able to really, unless you go to like an Amazon factory or do something that's just, you know, I want to do that myself. Where are these people going to go?
God knows.
Jobs will be displaced. I think it'll even be driverless soon, mate, where they're just, you've probably got things just going left, right and centre, and there's no need for drivers and no need. All those jobs that can be displaced will be.
I see it, I've been behind a counter a long time now. And there's a certain amount of people, like, I know who to say, how are you, love, today? You all right? You've just had your hair done and da-da-da-da, and they want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And I also know the girls who you can say, bloody hell, you look well. And then there's others that you can try to talk to, that you can tell just like, just do the fuck up.
I enjoy the socialising side. You know how weird I am. I don't like the parking up. I don't like the fucking...
Yeah.
If you could just have it where it were like, I can even drive through... I don't know, just, I'm weird. We're like, fuck, I've got a, I don't know if
you
anyone
need
else
to know,
thinks.
You need, I've known you a long time, you need to know exactly what you're going to.
Yeah.
So where exactly am I parking?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there going to be space for me to park?
There's a thing for that, it's autism.
Probably got a little bit of that. Someone's doing rounds.
Yeah, he likes to know exactly what he's doing. But on the other side of coin, you can pull outside shop at 10 o'clock, till 10 o'clock. So you could sort it if you wanted to. So
is the Tash still working for you?
No.
Fucking hell, mate. What's happened to Tash? Is he in Anglers?
Retired, he's gone.
Is it? He were a fucking character, mate. There was a guy called, he always had characters working for him, but there was one guy called Tony the Tash. I think he was about 500 years old. But he could fucking work, couldn't he? I know, he's a bit of a pain in your ass. Yeah, he's just always there.
That one thing I wanted to ask about, and I'm sure you want to talk about it. I remember in lockdown when some of your staff were pictured, like with loads of meeting trolleys and people were trying to give you a stick for it.
They gave me plenty of stick.
What went on with that?
The truth is, we supplied a nursing home called Walton Manor, and they had to have 100% British fresh chicken fillet, obviously them being older people. When lockdown was announced, chicken fillet went through roof, everybody grabbed for it, to a point where the only thing you could buy were frozen reserves. And unbeknowing to me, one of the managers from one of my shops went into Asda.
Uniformed up.
Explained the situation to the manager. Well, this is how much we need, which I think it was something like 30 kilos. Purchased it, and somebody took pictures of them, banged it on social. Bennett's are trying to clear shelves and profiteer from it. Let's get this bastard shut down, I think the message was. And I think you rung me about nine. I didn't know a thing about it. He rung me about 9 in the morning. He says, listen, Paul, have you seen on social media? You're going to have to sort this out. I said, what? And I put it on. I'm like, oh, my God. And you know something? Truth. It did look bad. But that was the truth. That is exactly what happened. And if we were going to clear shelves to make money on it, I'd have been wanting a damn sight more than 30 kilo of it. Because we're at that time.
You'd have gone in the morning, non-uniform. You could have easily cleaned that if you wanted.
Yeah, and we'd have got, you know, unless you had the chance to buy 400, 500, 600 kilos of it and double your money, then it wouldn't have been getting done. 30 kilos, definitely not. But, like all else, you know, poor Joe Westerman got it, didn't he? Well, I got about 5% of what he got, and I didn't like it.
We tried to put it to bed fairly quick with the video, though, didn't we?
There's one bastard. There's one still at it. Bastard with a light blue suit on.
Just, Phil's got a little black book, by the way, so you don't want to be in that.
I've got a fucking... there's one bastard, and he goes in champagne tent, or whatever they call it, at fucking Ponte Racecourse. I haven't been to Ponte Racecourse since lockdown.
Let's go!
But if he's in there, first time I see him, it's on. First time I see him.
On site?
I'm going to put it straight on him.
Oh,
he won't let it go. He would not let it go.
When is that day? Because we should all go to that.
Listen.
That is a good day out.
He's usually, this kid in his light blue suit on his foot.
You don't know about Asbuller, are you?
Don't know. I know his face. And he won't let it go.
Kill him.
And every time it were dropped, he kept having a go.
Oh!
I fucking know it is. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, when I see him, I don't care whether his mum...
I don't remember his name, but I know who he looked like.
I don't care whether he's with his mum, his grandma, his wife, or his kids. If I see him...
On site, I like it.
Yeah, that's it. You can't chat shit, get banged.
That is the big disconnect now with social media. There has to be consequences in life, don't there?
Yeah, you can't just go saying what you want about people.
Someone's living
some
in
of that,
life,
mate, but... we're just getting a bit too fucking personal, fat cunt, and this, that, and other, and properly giving it to me. Properly giving it to
me. Call me fat again, fucking bang, well, bang.
I can take a lot, but I explained the situation. Oh, that was the truth. Do I understand why people went mental? Yeah, I do. It was a really sensitive time, but that is the truth. And I think anybody with any ounce of sense, we even put shirt. They were like, you explained it, and then they're like, we want proof. Like, where does proof lead you? Like, what do you want me to do now? Go to interview the people at nursing home that you're not even allowed in and ask they ordered it. And go, you know, that's the explanation. That's where we're at. 30 kilos didn't even touch sides, and that's where we're at. But they were just... him. You know, there were probably more than him, but I just remember him and I know exactly what he looks like. I know exactly where he drinks when Ponty Race is on, or I've seen him in there at least three times, and that ain't an exaggeration. So he frequents regularly, and I definitely know.
It was the 80s night we like. That's what we should go to, the 80s one. Because we were...
When Billy Ocean were on.
We were such good blaggers. We went there... I can't remember who we went with. I think we went with his wife.
We're in owners and trainers, weren't we?
Yeah, we just ended up in owners enclosure. Just fucking... We all, like... It was a good night, that. Ended in Biggie's.
Finished
night.
Up in, on what's his...
you didn't go to Biggie's, did you?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I went in Biggie's.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. The thought of Tony Lum's son, I think. But yeah, I finished up on Watts's settee, and he was sensible enough to send pictures of me asleep to my missus. Fuck me, we had some ale that night. Good night though, wasn't it?
Yeah. 80s night. Who was singing there?
Billy Ocean. And he were on a deal, wasn't he? If he sold out, they paid him this much fucking hell. It were absolutely rammed, wasn't it?
Yeah, we'll have to go to that.
That's why I finished up at Watts's. You couldn't get a taxi for love nor money. We're fucking blaked, weren't we? Brilliant.
We're at the...
Come on, let's go to Ponty Race.
Are we at the Arrow, Mark? Give me what I want to close on. You gotta. I don't want to put it too much on your toes here, but give us a Sunday sermon. You've got to have some people.
I have to be pissed.
No, come on. There's people out there who are struggling at the minute. You've overcome a little bit of a bout of depression yourself. How can people pick themselves up? What have they got to do?
Just try and do something a little bit positive every day, and don't be a stranger. You know, people like fucking go out and see Butcher, go out and see Fruit and Veg Man, support local, do it. Whatever makes you happy, innit? Do something that makes you happy just a little bit at a time. Whereas, you know, but it is awful when you're down, and talk to somebody, do you know what I mean?
I go insular though when I'm down. I just sort of, just for whatever reason, just get into
when you're down, you need a pal, and you need somebody to pick you up and go for a walk with. And I had about 5 mates come and see me. And I don't forget them, you know, like, and I have a good circle of mates. So if you're not so popular and you're sat in the bloody, go out and get speaking to somebody and try and do something positive. And life ain't all about money. Try and do something good. And I think if you do a bit of good for somebody, something good comes back to you. And I've done plenty of good for people. And I think if you do the right thing and your heart's in the right place, you can get away with a bit of fucking shit. But you've got to do odd thing right.
Plug your business quickly.
Get to Bennett's Butchers. Give us a chance. Bennett's Butchers Club. We deliver to your door. And that's all we're asking, isn't it? A straightforward business for a straightforward man. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're just doing our best to sell a bit of meat to feed us families. And that's nice. It.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.